And it comes from the life and the death of John the Baptist. And it so impacted me probably about 12 years ago. About not only how he lived, but how John died. The incredible life, the incredible hand of God on the life of John the Baptist. If we were to talk about John the Baptist and say, what do you remember? I mean, one of the first things at least our kids when they were little would come up with, he ate locusts, grasshoppers and wild honey. He wore camel skin coat and leather belt and those kinds of things. He was a good missionary because he ate the bugs. All good missionaries eat bugs. All good missionaries have bug stories. But John was prophesied in the Old Testament. In the book of Malachi and the book of Isaiah, it talks about the ministry of John the Baptist. It doesn't mention him, John the Baptist, but it mentions this person. It talks about this person who would come before the Lord, preparing the way of the Lord, a voice crying out in the wilderness. Years after those prophecies in the Old Testament, there would be a man named Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, and an angel would appear to Zacharias and give an announcement. And in Luke chapter 1, he would unfold for us about six things about this baby that would be born. He said his name would be John. He said he will be filled with the Holy Spirit in its mother's womb. This is long before Pentecost. This is long before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That said that John would be filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb, even before he's born, the hand of God, the touch of God, the breath of God, John the Baptist's life. He'd say he would be great in the sight of the Lord. He said that his ministry would be, he would be turning many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. That he would go before him, go before the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah who was coming. He would go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, of a prophet, to make ready, to prepare a people prepared for the Lord. And John the Baptist would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. This amazing testimony of John the Baptist, it would be a miraculous birth because his mom and dad were far too old to have children. And in fact, when the announcement was made, dad didn't believe it. Said, you got the wrong couple. And yet we discover even in that passage of scripture that nothing's too difficult for God. Ah, Lord God, nothing is too complicated, too difficult for you. Nothing is impossible. And Elizabeth had this little baby named John. And he grows and he has this amazing ministry. And in John chapter 1, verse 29, we're going to be there, John chapter 1, verse 29, and then we're going to also be in Mark chapter 6, if you want to turn to either of those. But John 1, 29, beginning, it says this, the next day John saw Jesus. So John the Baptist has been baptizing in the Jordan. He sees Jesus coming towards him. Behold the Lamb of God. John is identifying Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I didn't know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. The reason I came was for this moment. John bore witness saying, I saw the Holy Spirit. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained on him, on Jesus. I didn't know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. John, keep your eyes open. When this happens, this is the Messiah. This is the Lamb of God. And John says, I've seen, I've testified that this is the Son of God. John's ministry, he baptized Jesus. He identified him to Israel. This is the one. And Jesus would say this in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 10 and 11. He will say, there's none greater than John the Baptist. Have a look at him. There's none greater than John. John will end up in prison. And we'll talk a little bit about that in just a moment. But John will be in prison. Jesus is active in ministry and people are following and things are taking place. But John, this one who identified, this is the guy. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I saw the Holy Spirit descend on him like a dove. This is him. John in prison will send a message to through his John's disciples. Say, go talk to Jesus and find out if I made a mistake. Because this isn't what I imagined about the Messiah, the anointed one, coming to the deliverer, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the one who would be the king of the Jews. It sure looks like Herod's king. Can you go find out what's going on as he's sitting in prison? Jesus tells his disciples, tell John this. Say, the blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the gospel is preached. Tell John, the kingdom of God has come. Tell him this, these things, that the miraculous is taking place everywhere. And then he says these words, blessed are you, blessed are they that are not offended because of these things. It means blessed are you if you don't stumble at this, if this doesn't trip you up. It actually has to do with a bait stick in a trap that would, if you trip that, the trap will be sprung. Blessed are you if you're not trapped by this, if this doesn't become a stumbling block, an offense, a problem, that the Jesus is doing the miraculous all around, but not for you. But you're in prison. And that's not going to change. Don't let that stumble you. that look in these people's lives and these people's lives and what God is doing, but it looks like somehow I've been left out and here I am in prison and God doesn't see. Jesus said, tell John, don't let that trip up your faith. That he is still the Messiah. He is still the anointed one. He is still the Son of God. He is still the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Keep your eyes on him, not on your circumstance. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning at verse 14, Herod heard of Jesus, for Jesus had become well known. And he said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead, because Herod had John executed. And that's what this story is about to unfold that we're reading in Mark chapter 6. John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. Others said, that's Elijah. Another said, it is the prophet that Moses talked about, or one of the prophets. And when Herod heard this, he said, this is John. He's thinking there's a reincarnation. There's something that's taking place. This is John whom I beheaded, for he has been raised from the dead. From Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John. That's the same person. And bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. And here the story unfolds of what happened to John. Because John said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Then Herodias held it against him. Who is he to tell us? Then Herodias held it against him and wanted to kill him, and she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when he had heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. John had come before Herod. And then an opportune day came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a feast. For his nobles, his officers, the chief men of Galilee, and Herodias, her daughter herself, came in and danced and pleased Herod and those who sat with him. Party's going on, bring in the dancing girls. And the king said to the girl, ask me, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. He swore to her, now, it's going to be a big ask. Whatever you want. Whatever you ask me, I give you up to half of my kingdom. So she went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, this is Herodias, ask for the head of John the Baptist. And immediately she came in with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry. Yet because of his oaths, because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king set an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and he beheaded him in prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mom. The disciples heard it And they came and took his corpse away and laid it in a tomb. John's death, the whim of a child. Nothing noble about John's death. Nothing noble. How does that fit? God ordained. In the Old Testament, we heard about John. God announced there will be one who's going to turn the hearts of the father to the children. God anointed. In his mother's womb, he will be filled with the presence of God, with the Holy Spirit. God empowered the marvelous ministry of John the Baptist, and appearingly God deserted Jesus. Find out if Jesus is the one, because here I am in prison. And how does this fit? It seems like such a meaningless death. And what stood out to me a number of years ago, and it's helped shape me, and it's helped shape how I think, is this. It's not about how you die. It's about how you live. It's not about how you die. It's about how you live. The prophecies, the purpose, the miraculous birth, the angelic announcement, the powerful ministry, it was all about his life. The camel skin, the locusts, the message, the baptism, the identification of this is the Lamb of God. Everyone, this is him. Call for Israel to repent and return to the Lord. It's all about his life. And the story that we have of John the Baptist's death, it's such a small part of the story. What he did. I mean, it's so frustrating that it was at the whim of a young girl and the orders of her mother that before the party was over, he was beheaded. I want it now and on a platter. But what he did with his life, he prepared the way for the bridegroom. And when John's disciples had come to him earlier, and they said, "We're concerned about this Jesus who you identified, because our gang, our team, our disciples, the guys who were with us, they're following after him. What are we going to do about it?" And John would make this statement. He would say, "He must increase, and I must decrease." We still have such seemingly meaningless ways to die. We were at a funeral yesterday, many of us here, right in this place. Rob Nickerson passing away from cancer, 2-year battle. Auto accidents. We watched in sorrow and sadness as funerals began to take place for the hockey players from the Humboldt Broncos. In the news, we read of Sarah, the police officer, athlete, friend of Sean's, who had a massive stroke and died in marvelous tip-top shape. And just so astounded that in a moment, she died. Death makes no sense. Deaths like that make no sense, like a reward for a dance. But it's not how we die, it's how we live. And so had things turned out differently in that car on the road from Cranbrook, it's not how we die, it's how we live. And we live loving Jesus with everything that's within us. William Wallace is quoted to say, "All men die, not all men really live." And I want to live for Christ. I love this statement that the Apostle John teaches us in his Gospel, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. It says this: "There was a man sent from God." It's talking about John the Baptist. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. this amazing declaration. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness of the light. That, and it says, through him we might believe. And I think a few things, if we could underline even this morning, there was a man sent from God. He had, his commission, his mandate was from the Lord's. To be sent from God means you had to be with God. He was with the Lord. He was with the Father. In fact, he declared about his order to baptize that it was he who sent me. God sent him. God sent John to bear witness for the light of Christ, that all through him might believe. And I wondered, is there any difference for us today? I wonder if we could take this scripture, even as Pastor Chris talked about Jerusalem at the beginning of our service, and said, let's take that Jerusalem and insert our names. I wonder if we could insert our names even to this passage that says there was a person sent from God whose name was. Now, I could have gone back to this for you, John. Yeah, it's just, you don't even have to insert. It's there, baby. All right. But for anyone else not named John, there's a person sent from God whose name was Barb, whose name was Chris, whose name was Albert, whose name was Colleen. This person came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through Jasmine might believe. Just put your name there, that people might believe, that we're still here on the planet, that we might bear witness of Jesus, and that through us, people might believe. And it's not how we die, because for so many, that will be a surprise. Not everyone gets a deathbed experience. The papers are full of people who had no idea that would be their last day. But it's not how we die. It's how we live. Hidden away in the book of Acts, there's this phrase that the Apostle Paul says. And he almost just says it in passing. But he refers to John the Baptist. And he just, it's almost like this by the way comment. He says this in the story, in the speech that he's giving. He just says these few words. As John was finishing his course, and that helps me so much, because John's ministry was fulfilled. He did what he needed to do. He came to do what he came to do, and he did it. He finished the work. He identified Christ. And he turned people to Christ. And he said, he must increase, I must decrease. And the friend of the bridegroom pointed everyone to the bridegroom. And then he bowed out. But he says he was finishing his course. And I thought, that's what I want to do. I want to finish my course. Hebrews will tell us that there is a race, and it says this specifically, that's set before us. So run with endurance the race that's set before us. You have a race to run. And it's not anybody else's. You have your race to run. Before the Lord, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, the beginning and the end, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was before him endured the cross, despising the shame. That we run the race that's before us, just like John did. And we're able to say, for me to live as Christ, and at some point to die as gain. We get to go be with the Lord. As we looked at the service yesterday with Rob Nickerson, Rob is better than he has ever been. And we have this hope and confidence that we will see him again and all those who've gone before us sleep in Jesus. And we look forward to that day. Even when it feels like the end, it's not the end. Because we have a hope in Christ. But for us, may we focus on living. Living for Christ. It doesn't matter. It's not all about how we die. It's how we live. May we be a people like John, who lived for Christ. Let's go ahead and pray today. God, thank you. Thank you that you sent John the Baptist. And in all of the stuff about, so much more about the story of John the Baptist and how he stood up against the Pharisees and how he preached and how he baptized and how he lived and pointed people to Jesus. God, we want to focus on that. And how he died, God, even that wasn't beyond your sight, that somehow you overlooked that or didn't notice. God, thank you that you were present in that moment with him, that you never, never left him or forsook him, but God, that your eye was on him and he was received by you. And God, we thank you that in this life it's just temporary, but we have an eternal life in you. So God, we pray that you would help us to live lives worthy of the calling with which you placed on our lives. God, that we would be about following you and that we would bear witness of the lights, that in our conversations, that in our lives, that in our workplaces, in our schools, in our communities, in our families, we would bear witness of the lights, the light of the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus, you are the light of the world, that we would bear witness to you. We would not be ashamed of the gospel, for we know it's the power of God unto salvation. And we would be people who bear witness to the truth and bear witness of the lights. And that through us, God, you would use us like you did John the Baptist. That through us, people would believe. God, may there be such a testimony of our lives that we point people to you. And that whenever we go to be with you, God, it won't be about how we died. It will be about how we lived and that we live for you. Be honored and glorified in everything that we say and do. Be honored and glorified in our lives. May we point people to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.